Welcome to the Clunatics Podcast. I'm Kurt Graves. In the course of creating this podcast, the producers and I have worked hard not to put an editorial spin on many of the topics we discuss. We took inspiration from TJ's stories and characters, and we let the interviewees guide the episode. Not so this time. Today, we have a point of view and a statement to make. Let boys be feminine. And we'll get into why that phrase matters to us. But first, I had to ask TJ what let boys be feminine means to him.
It just means to let boys be whoever the hell they want to be. The idea that we have to have everybody raised in a hyper-masculine world is flat out ridiculous. And unfortunately, I was raised in that kind of world too. And the fact that that is a thing that still goes on to this day just blows my mind. If there is one hint, a whiff of any kind of femininity in a man or a child, a boy, people tend to denigrate that. They tend to turn their nose up at. They ask, why is a child acting that way? Why is he swishy? Why is he doing that with his hands and his wrists? Why does he want to play with girl toys? Why does he want to dress up in girl clothes or anything like that? And that's fucking bullshit, especially when it comes to children. Children should be allowed to express themselves however they want to.
Last week, we spoke with Michael Leslie about the release of The Extraordinaries. In the virtual book launch with Book People events, TJ told author Mason Deaver that he wanted a world where kids can be themselves without fear of reprisal. We want to open the conversation about the uniquely negative connotation that boys acting like girls carries in our culture.
Don't be a sissy.
A boy is crying. Gross.
Man up. Act like a man.
That's for girls. Don't be a girl.
Baking with my mom. That's not for a man.
No, you have a gay accent, right?
This is what a boy should do, and this is what a girl should do.
You need to grow out of that.
I hate a childhood.
You don't need to raise a fist to a kid to hurt them. Words can hurt just as bad, and I got the words thrown at me.
Why is there this specific knee-jerk reaction against letting boys, young men, act or enjoy things that are considered more like female? It's nuts how ingrained some of this is, even in those of us who have worked really hard on ourselves to buck traditional concepts of what it means to be a man, or like who men are supposed to be romantically interested in, or what hobbies we're supposed to like, or what media we're supposed to enjoy.
Okay, so the first thing that came to my mind was last year's outfit that Billy Porter wore to the Oscars, because I really loved that gown.
Producer Johnny helped set up a story that TJ told me.
It's fantastic to me because the top half is beautiful like a tuxedo, and the bottom half is a fantastic gown, and that appeals to me on two reasons. One, I love a good bow tie, and two, if I wore that, I think it would make me feel pretty.
So apparently they went back into your Instagram posts and found a pic that you shared of you as a kid in a pink dress. Do you remember more moments like that from your childhood, or was that kind of a surprise to you to find that picture and be like, oh,
no, wow, because I remember that was my sister's. She used that. We had a room in our house that was kind of like a playroom that she had, that she could wear, you know, all these old dresses. They were just old costume stuff that, you know, you find cheap at like Goodwill and stuff like that. And I just liked the way it felt. It was just, you know, I played it as a joke. Because if I didn't, I knew that I was going to get in trouble. But I liked the way that it felt. I think that my stepfather forced me to take it off, and I never put that on again. I knew in my head, even then, that what he was trying to force upon me was wrong. His idea of how a man should be, and I knew that was wrong. But I was fucking 11, 12 years old. What could I say to an adult, and this is in the 90s, to try to express myself in such a way to be articulate enough to say that, hey, I put it on because I like it.
I'm David. I'm from Pittsburgh. My mom was remodeling her bathroom. So like everything in the bathroom was out in the kitchen, and my nephew would see my mom and my sister putting up makeup on in the morning at the little mirror. And he would crawl up and want to do the same. And, you know, kind of... So one day, they didn't realize he didn't put the lids on the makeup. And he crawled up and was putting, like, a little, I don't know, blush or something on. Or foundation. And they were like, no, that's for girls. I'm like, it is, like, pretend play. Just let him do what he wants.
It would have changed my life if someone just told me, you can play with a Barbie.
Author Seth King is another queer writer who explores themes of masculinity and femininity in his books. Seth spoke with me way back in February, not only about his books, but also his own experience growing up.
I'll get personal here. I don't think I've shared this, but my parents almost got divorced because I asked for a dollhouse when I was like 3. I asked my mom. My mom told my dad. My mom said, "What's the problem? I don't care." And my dad said, "Absolutely not. I won't have that in my house." And it turned into such a big fight over the weeks that they almost got divorced because of it. And that's the kind of environment that I was in. But what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be telling a feminine kid that he can be feminine. It can also just be telling, you know, a straight kid whose grandma just died, like, you know what? You can cry. You can feel this. It's okay. You don't have to have the stiff upper lip. You don't have to pretend like you feel nothing because you're a boy. Feminine doesn't have to be gay. And I hate that that's tied a lot, because I think a lot of straight guys are a lot more on the feminine spectrum than they allow themselves to feel. So it can be giving me a Barbie, and it can also be telling my straight friend that, hey, if you're sad about a breakup, feel sad. Like, it's okay.
Just because a kid likes playing with dolls doesn't mean shit. Just because a kid wants to play dress up does not mean shit. They can grow up to be as straight as an arrow. That is just how kids are. Think about it. You go into a toy store. There is the boy aisle, and then you turn a corner and there's the bright pink girl aisle. And boys are in one aisle, girls are in the other. That's just how it is. And I just don't understand why we can't let people be who they want to be. What harm does it do to anyone to allow people to express themselves how they want? It just, I don't get it. I absolutely don't get it. I don't wear women's clothes, but if I wanted to, why shouldn't I be able to? I don't understand why, who does that affect walking down the street? How are you, random stranger, offended by something like that? Why? I just don't understand. It's this idea that men must be men, and the phrase that I hate more than anything in the world, the boys will be boys, that just fucking rubs me raw. And I hate it so much that we have these assigned gender roles that boys have to be one way and girls have to be another. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. And if a guy is more feminine, that doesn't have to say anything about his sexuality in any way, shape, or form. It shouldn't at all, but people will assign what they think is a person's sexuality because of how they act, how they talk, how they dress. And that's, I don't know. We think that we've come so far, but all you have to do is walk outside and see how really behind we still are.
Hello. This is Louis Garcia from Canada, also known as Hobo Hipster Superman. I sometimes wonder what could I have become if I had been given the opportunity to be what I wanted to be, to act how I wanted, without fear of repercussion. And it's an interesting idea. I was always a very creative kid, but being overly creative, and especially in the things I was creative in, wasn't right. I mean, just this past year, I've auditioned for my first musical for the first time, because to me, that kind of performance art wasn't for a man. And it's these traits that I didn't allow myself to tap into for so long because of those ideals, that I thought that these are things that a man shouldn't do.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I remember one day my dad came to pick me up from school, and it was lunchtime, and I was sitting with girls, because a lot of my friends were girls, and just the look on his face was just terror. They would say I threw like a girl. I don't even like that notion, that whole thing that someone can look gay or seem gay, because I know a lot of straight men that are somewhat feminine.
I was going to say, you know, I also grew up as a gay kid, and a lot of people figured it out before me. You know,
that's definitely a huge thing with me. They told me I was before I knew what that was. A kid called me a sissy on the playground. I didn't know what that even meant.
Everyone's like, you catch like a girl. And it wasn't until way years later that I learned the response. That's fantastic, because lesbians are great at softball.
We all have stories about who we were told we should be. But ultimately, the idea of what it is to be feminine and why being feminine is considered a bad thing is about more than how you catch a ball. I asked Johnny what traits he thought of as feminine.
I had to think about this for a long time. I had to Google feminine traits to see what was listed as feminine traits. They're all normally positive traits. Kindness, gentleness, empathy were ones that are listed as traditionally feminine. Caring, caretaker. And I started to think that, you know, what are negative feminine traits? And when asked to be part of this episode, I was a little taken aback, because I was like, whoa, do I have feminine traits? Am I really feminine? I had asked my husband. He's like, no, babe, you're fine. If you are, who cares? And so I guess of the feminine traits that I have, it would be my empathy and caring. I don't know if there are any negative feminine traits.
I think
thoughts? What are negative feminine traits?
I would hope that we don't. See, here's the thing. I don't think it's necessarily negative. I think there are traits that are considered positive in women and not positive in men, such as feeling strong feelings, caring for other people, being quote unquote sensitive. You know, asking for help. Those are things that often boys are told not to do, but girls are encouraged to do. And so it's not so much that there's a negative feminine trait. It's that a trait that people feel should be applied to women, but not to men. And I think that that's, you know, so it doesn't necessarily have to be girly. It could be, you know, we could replace the word feminine with emotional. Like, let boys be emotional.
Right. Which just then, I mean, does that give a negative connotation to boys having feelings and boys caring? Like, should we, why can't boys exhibit the emotions? Why can't we exhibit emotions?
I don't know, but I certainly grew up in a society where that was discouraged.
Yes.
In January 2020, TJ released Feral Song, a short story in the Green Creek universe, and he received some feedback on the internet disparaging the male characters in that story for crying. So I asked him about it.
Can you kind of walk us through your perspective of what you saw and how you responded to it?
Yeah, it was on Twitter, people replying to my posts and tagging me and stuff. It was a handful. It wasn't, you know, dozens and dozens of people. It was probably four or five. Why are they crying? Why are these characters, this entire short story is of people crying? And I'm like, well, first and foremost, they're crying because they're fucking sad. Terrible things have happened to this. I've made terrible things happen to this group of people, this family. And so, of course, they're going to be upset. Specifically, in this case, it shows Kelly dealing with the aftermath of his first love, his best friend, making a terrible decision to leave him behind. Of course he's going to cry. Of course Joe is going to cry. Of course they're going to be upset because they've lost their big brother. They've gone through hell and back. Again, my bad. And they have gone through all this shit. Of course they're going to have a moment where they need to break down and they need to be upset and they need to cry. And the fact that people still in fucking 2020 think that when a man cries, that is that he loses his masculinity is, God, that rubbed me the wrong way. I normally don't comment on shit like that. I normally stay, if somebody doesn't like something I've written, that is fine. Whether it be one of a book that I release or a free short story, if it's a book I release, more than likely not, they paid for it. They have the right to have whatever opinion they want to have about what I wrote. When I release a free story, they read it. They are allowed and entitled to have an opinion about anything that I wrote. I don't care, because that's how an author-reader relationship works. I put a work out into the world. Anybody can form any opinion they want about it. And that's how it is. But do not come to me, a man, and tell me how a male character should act, that male characters are not allowed to show feelings, that male characters are not allowed to be sad or upset, male characters are not allowed to cry, because that is when I will come back for you with as carefully as I can, because I don't want to necessarily call people out and then try to sick other people on them. But I think that if you have the idea in your head, or you have the notion that men cannot cry, you really need to check with yourself about what kind of thoughts you're having or what your priorities are, because that is bullshit. And I will never, ever, ever agree with that. And frankly, I get offended when I hear stuff like that, because we spend so long trying to teach boys how to be good people. We do, because think about it. When it comes to people growing up, when it comes to people in domestic violence situations, when it comes to people going around and hurting others, chances are it's probably a man that is doing that. And if you look into that person's past, probably they come from a cycle of abuse. And so when you go through that, they're teaching them, again, coming up with that phrase, boys will be boys, and they have to be a certain way. And then they see their parents or their dad being a certain way, and then they grow up to think they have to do the exact same thing. And unless we break that cycle, unless we step in and stop, and unless we can have fictional characters able to cry because something seriously shitty just happened to them, then we are never, ever going to be able to stop this kind of mentality. We'll never be able to get away from it. I just don't understand why we are still in that mindset. I don't understand why people, when they read about a fictional character, a male fictional character crying, that all of a sudden, oh my God, they're a pussy. They're fucking, you know, they're weak, whatever. That, fuck you if you think that. I'm sorry to put it bluntly like that, but fuck you if that's your thought process, because you don't know shit. And again, if you're offended by that, you know what? I'm not sorry, because you need to fix that within yourself.
I would ask if there's anything more you feel you need to add, but
no, that was a rant, man. I've been sitting on that for a long time. Because it really just, I don't know. It people have the idea when they're reading queer romance, where they're reading male, that all of them are alphas and that they need to be as strong as possible and stoic and badasses. And you know what? That fucking gets old. Stop it. That, you know, there's a place for that. Sure. Whatever. You can write that if you want to write that, but Jesus fucking Christ, if you're going to write realistic characters or at least believable characters, you have to let them be believable. And it's, I don't know. Now I'm mad.
Sorry.
Screw you guys.
Here's David discussing his experience growing up.
Growing up, all the men in my family were very like reserved. They're very quiet. You don't talk about feelings or mental health, or you're just strong. You don't show emotion. And girls, I guess, in general, are more allowed to do that.
I don't disagree with you, but at the same time, if I can just mirror back like some of what you said, which is like men are expected to be strong and not show their feelings, and like that is the perception of like what strength is.
Right.
Isn't that nuts?
Oh yes. I mean, I have a little nephew who, you know, cries or gets upset and it's don't be a baby, don't be a girl. And I'm like, why is that wrong? Because you need to be able to communicate how you're feeling properly if something upsets you. I mean, how is that an issue? That should, experiencing an emotion shouldn't be exclusive to a gender.
Yeah. Let's talk about TJ's work in this frame. Can you think of any of his characters who you feel like break the mold and where they exhibit traits that would be considered more feminine?
Quincy, just because he is so open with his mental health, I feel like, and I don't think you see that a lot in the male gender. I know personally in my family, you know, that's not something guys talk about. If you even suggest they should go get on an antidepressant, it is like World War III. How dare you suggest to them to like go talk about their feelings with somebody or even suggest that there's anything wrong with, you know, their level of satisfaction in life. Like you said, it gets kind of flack because I think people view it as weak, especially men, because, you know, men can never show a sign of weakness. So I really love that about Quincy, is that, you know, he has the blog, he's very open about his boundaries, and yeah.
What David said about the men in his family made us want to explore that further.
There's 10 children in my family. I had a lot of older brothers. I used to go hunting with them. I don't like hunting. I don't like hunting, but I used to have to go hunting with my older brothers, and we'd go deer hunting and raccoon hunting. And I was so bored. But yeah, it was all the older brothers was one of those, you know, like, don't be a sissy. You have to be a man. Like, this is how we act.
I was still a kid who was pretty, you know, you could say visibly gay. And as those traits started to come out in me more and more, it definitely got a little bit harder. I had two older brothers who were sports stars, and I had a dad who certainly wanted me to fit into a certain idea. And I definitely struggled a lot with that in my family and in my school and in my whole community. I remember I did a church play, a Broadway type play for my church, where I sang and danced. And my dad probably didn't look my way for a week. I was told not to cry. I tried to wrestle my neighbor, who was the total alpha guy, and I tried to wrestle him and I lost and I cried. And my brothers definitely told me, just flat out, like, boys don't cry. You can't cry. Definitely. A million. And also, you can be told to do things without words. Microaggressions, you know, you can just look, one of your parents or friends, just that withering look can make you never do something again.
Let boys be femme. It's a topic I don't like necessarily thinking about too much, only because it was something I had a really hard time dealing with as a kid growing up, and even nowadays it's still something I struggle with. You're faced with it every day. It's, you know, it's the idea of there's this masculine image, and that's what's expected, and if you are anything outside of what is in this box, then you're labeled as an outsider, an outcast, and it's not the greatest feeling.
No, certainly not if you're told that that's wrong.
And that's what it was with me growing up. With the father I have, I come from a European background, moved to Canada from Portugal when I was 5, and at home it was a European household, very stereotypical, with my dad being hyper masculine. You know, he did all the fixing, the building, tools. And that's what it was. Yeah, so that's what I ended up struggling with, because I was never what he wanted. And even though he never really said as much, I know that's, you just know the look of somewhat disappointment, because I didn't like sports. I didn't overly like, you know, throwing a hammer and hitting some wood.
So it's a feeling that you had that you were being disappointing. But what, like, mm-hmm. what do you think the disappointment was specifically that you didn't want to do these typically masculine things? Or was it a disappointment that he couldn't share those experiences with you?
Honestly, I think it's a bit of both.
Okay.
Because he's a very handy man, and I know, and it's one of those things, he believes in the whole passing down things, information. It's all about, you know, the father and his son and being able to give this information. And it's just, it wasn't something I was very responsive to. It wasn't out of the lack of caring, just the lack of interest. It's not what sparked interest. I loved baking with my mom. I loved messing around with my mom's sewing machine. I liked creative things. I liked computers, animation. And it was never anything that landed to his skill set. So because I never really showed much of an interest in the things that he had interests in, we never had a connect. We still don't have a connection. It stopped talking to my father for 7 years because he had a really hard time facing the fact that I was gay, even though he knew. So it's just one of those, it just gets to be awkward because there's no connection there. And there's definitely disappointment there because I wasn't the son he was expecting.
Yeah. I guess what I'm trying to suss out is, though, if that was connected specifically to the gendering of the activities. You know, that baking and sewing and artwork is all considered feminine, and therefore, you know, that's not something you should be doing. But if it was a daughter, he would have been like, oh, that's great. We don't need to connect on any level on that specific level, we'll find other things to connect with. Or if it was specifically because you're his son, and he was like, well, you're gendered to do these things. Do you think that's true in ways other than just the activities you chose to do? Were you behaviorally?
Absolutely. Behaviorally, even as a kid, I knew I was different. I know I didn't act like your average boy. It was definitely something that was the struggle with the knowing that I'm doing these things behaviorally, and not only am I disappointing my dad, I'm not fitting into society.
We met James in episode 5, and I was curious to learn about his experience growing up queer in another part of the world. Did he also face this pressure to be more masculine? To act like a boy?
I grew up with a single mother, and she's always had quite a nice view of like what men should be. And I guess growing up without the kind of male influence, you could say. Yeah, it didn't really have any kind of negative effects on me. It helped, if anything, I would say. Yeah, she's always just kind of wanted me to be true to myself, like express myself, that kind of thing. I got quite lucky, I would say.
If James could avoid this specific type of discrimination, then he was lucky, and I'm glad that was the case. This is where I fully shed any objectivity and speak about this topic directly.
I think there was a time when probably a girl would have been shooed away from playing with boys' toys and stuff like that. But for some reason, that they crossed the Rubicon already. And I feel like boys are maybe just starting to do that. Like we get to, but, and yet it's still it goes viral every time a dad dresses up his kid as Elsa, you know, every time there's a boy in a dress, it's like, oh my God, look at this amazing parenting. Whereas female children have been allowed to be masculine. We call them tomboys. There's a word for it. And it's not considered an insulting word. Whereas any word I can think of for a feminine acting boy or a boy who's interested in more girly things, those words are not, they are offensive. They are offensive. I think it's because it's so ingrained in all of us. And I don't know if it's a sexuality thing, if it's still that people are afraid of men growing up gay, I think part of what's wrapped into that is HIV/AIDS. I think there's still, for many people who are probably the generation before us, they still equate homosexual men with the AIDS epidemic, so they feel like the lifestyle's unsafe. Or if it's just a gender thing, that it's specifically bad to act like a girl if you're not one.
Yeah, I mean, I still get things from my family like, don't you want to marry a nice girl? And I'm like, no, not at all.
There's no amount of niceness that could make up for what was lacking in that marriage. for both members. Like, what girl do you want to saddle with a gay husband?
Right.
You horrible, evil person. think of her.
I think you're right, though, about, you know, there being a stigma on the sexual health aspect of it, because I mean, coming out, I'm one of my aunts, I have a very big Italian family. One of my aunts is a doctor, and her big thing when I came out, it wasn't that I was gay, and she didn't have an issue that I was attracted to men. It was more, I don't want you to have a hard time in life, and I'm really worried that what if you get sick? Like, she just couldn't fathom that, like, if something happened and I was hurt or treated unfairly because of who I am.
I've counseled so many people about this reality that you have to allow your family to mourn the person they thought you were.
Like, I was just
in their mind, it is a death. It is the death of the future they thought you had. And they will eventually discover the future that you really have and the person you really are. And that's better. But it's always going to be hard for the family. Always. Even for the most progressive parents and siblings. I had a really good friend in high school who I came out to at 17, and she had no problem with it. And we were great. And our freshman year in college, her brother came out and she was like, I feel so bad feeling bad about this. And I was like, don't. You have, like, well, he just changed your whole world. Everything's right. Different. It's
We've
okay to feel weird
with
about
it
that.
For all of our lives.
Right.
So, your family has a picture of you in their head of who they think you are as a person.
I wonder if you can think of any specific examples from your own life of, like, traits that you have that people have told you not to exhibit.
I mean, I am not the most masculine person. You know, I kind of do my hands a lot. I talk a lot with my hands. I've also actually been told, you know, at work to not flaunt it. And I'm always like, well, what am I not supposed to flaunt? Because to me, this is just me. You know, this is just, I'm not thinking I have characteristics that don't fit me. I just think this is me and I'm going to be myself. I'll have some moments where I'm just, you know, a little extra and over the top and we'll be joking and I kind of will be calmed down, like, tone it down. They've been like, said, don't flaunt it. Besides that, in public, I've never really had any huge issues. It's just more of a work thing.
Did you ever try to change?
As soon as I realized what was going on, yes. Every day. And it's still something I do to this day. When I am, for example, when I'm at work, I speak differently, I act differently. It is now one of those things where it's just an instinct. I no longer really have to try at it, it's just something I do. I talk, when I'm talking to the engineers, I lower my register slightly, and I reduce any sort of inflection on words that I normally add.
You code switch.
Absolutely, and it's just, It's definitely a safety mechanism to protect myself because I work in civil engineering and it's a very male dominated profession. But yeah, I when I go to work, there's just this facade, and until I get comfortable with the people around me, that's when my vocal patterns relax. But even when I do speak to my superiors, that's when I switch back where I'm a lot more masculine. I just speak, I guess, my idea of straighter and what that means to, I guess, to what they are. Whether it ends up being what I'm aiming for, it's just instinctually, that's what I do to kind of, to protect myself.
You know, that there, a specific time when you remember thinking like, oh, that behavior is not correct and I need to make sure I school that in myself from now on.
Yes, I would say that came when people started teasing me. You know, when I do something and then I get a negative reaction, in my mind it just turns into one of those, oh well, I can't do that. And that's where that learned behavior comes, where again, when I did something more feminine and I got that negative reaction, whether it was teasing, whether it was a look, whether it was just uncomfortableness, that's where I learned, well, this, I can't do this because this is what isn't normal. This is what isn't perceived as normal.
As you've proceeded into your adult life, do you feel like it's safer for you to be perceived as not normal?
I feel like that is very situational. I feel like if you're in a situation where you feel threatened, I mean, it doesn't matter how old you are, you're going to feel threatened.
There's definitely words that people use, like flamboyant. When the media uses a word like flamboyant, we all know what they're saying. They're just trying to say gay, but, you know, it's a code word.
I am curious. You had an example in your dad and your brothers of like a more typically masculine boyhood. Did you ever try to like wear that as a disguise? Did you ever try to take on some of their characteristics to maybe avoid some of that teasing?
Absolutely. There's a quote about how gay people don't really become themselves until they're probably 20 or 25, and that absolutely applied to me. The code around me was so Southern and so conservative and so quote unquote be a man that I, you know, I wore bootcut jeans until I was like 25, which is horrifying to think back on now. But yeah, like I said, when those traits started to get me in trouble in probably elementary school and middle school, I would hide them. So I wouldn't dress how I wanted to dress, and I wouldn't do the things I wanted to do, and I had to join the football team and all those things. So I definitely presented, if you met me at 20, you would think that I was a straight guy. Like you, because I had successfully buried all the things that made me different, not knowing that that was what made me special. So totally, I definitely sort of became someone else for a while.
When did you figure it out?
Basically, I just stopped caring. When you get to a certain age in your mid-20s, you just realize, like, who gives a shit? Like, my brother died when I was 22. I grew up in a lot of ways, and I just sort of realized, like, I don't care anymore, you know? If you want to wear a sparkly shirt and suck a dick, then go do it, you know? Like, life's too short.
Are there any traditionally feminine traits that you would attribute to yourself now? Like, now that you've grown up and you can kind of own it a little bit more, are there some feminine parts of yourself that you've learned to embrace?
Yeah, I listen to Lady Gaga like all day. I used to police what I listened to. I would roll up my windows if I was listening to girl music. I dress a lot more what you would say flamboyantly. I used to not wear tight pants because I was afraid. I've let my quote unquote gay accent come out a little bit more. I used to talk in a lower cadence. So a lot, definitely.
And lest you think that the only folks putting down gay men or young boys for feminine behavior are straight people, it is not. The gays, we're just as bad. Prepare thyself for another queer author rant.
Yes, the gay community has a huge hierarchy of masculinity is prized. If you go into any gay bar, the most popular guys, the coolest guys will look like jocks and be muscular and have that whole thing. And I don't entirely blame gay men because I think that we're a minority operating in the larger realm of a society controlled by straight men and made for straight men. And so I think when you're a smaller body operating in a bigger world like that, you sort of fight amongst each other for a status and to be like status quo. So I think that in some ways these ideals are forced upon us, but totally no. I mean, even with my gay friends, they'll use the word bottom as an insult. Like, oh, you're being such a bottom. You're being so emotional. A lot of gay men never work through those internalized issues because we hear it in our ears our whole life. And this came out when I was writing my book, Femme, because I wrote it in my sort of mid to late 20s when I was starting to be like, okay, I'm a little bit feminine. Who gives a fuck? I'm going to be gay. I don't care. And at the same time, when I started writing that book, a lot of guys on the apps I was dating at the time, when they would pull up my pictures, they would say stuff like, oh, I don't want to, you're too much of a bottom, or you're too femme, I'm sorry. Or sorry, I want more of a straight passing guy, or you're just too out there for me. So while I was accepting myself, I was getting rejected more and more by the people that were supposed to accept me. So I kind of got to this catch-22 moment where I wanted to be myself in a community that was supposed to be okay with me, and I realized they weren't totally okay with me. So I think the gay world definitely has its own issues. The straight acting, quote unquote, top guy is on the top of the pile still, and probably always will be. And more feminine men are sort of on the bottom, and, you know, like I know gay men who live almost as straight men because they're so afraid and they don't have gay friends. They don't get to go to gay places. They're not out. So the whole internalized homophobia, internalized misogyny, all of that is definitely very pervasive still, even in 2020, even in the gay world.
Producer Louis agrees.
If you exhibit feminine qualities, there would be guys who would look down at you and be like, no, and not even give you the time of day because you were too feminine. It's an issue everywhere. I think it's something that society just struggles with as a whole, with the portrayal of what the sexes needs to be. There's this ideal, and if you don't fit partially within that ideal, then you're not worth anyone's time.
Do you ever find yourself being the one doing the judging?
I have, absolutely. I'm not proud of it, but I remember,
I don't think any of us are, but I think we all do it.
Oh, absolutely. I'm slightly ashamed of it, but girl, when I was in my 20s, when I was, you know, first coming out, and because I officially came out when I was like 19. So what I used to say when I was younger was, I like men because they're men. If I wanted feminine, I'd be with women. And that's just the kind of thing I followed. That was my idea, and that's what I thought that was okay. And I think a lot of that also came from a self-hatred point. It was quality I didn't like in myself, so I didn't want it in anybody else.
Yeah.
And it's this learned behavior that, like I mentioned, you know, when you do something to cause a negative reaction, well, I can't do that anymore because it's wrong. So then growing up, having these ideals compounding on themselves, then all of a sudden I'm starting to look for other guys. Well, these are things that are quote unquote wrong. So I'm going to look for someone who doesn't exude those qualities.
Yeah. Do you, other than in TJ's books, where you got to see Sandy have a love story, a romance, have you seen other media where that's helped, I guess, where you've been able to see that, like, a feminine gay person gets to be a real person and not a sidekick and not a caricature?
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things I do like about KJ's work, is he creates these environments where it's, for lack of a better term, normal. Where you can behave in any what way and no one really bats an eye at it.
I spoke to TJ about that.
You've put a lot of work out in the world that, you know, exemplifies the way that you think people should think about men.
Well, I do, and I want to challenge the conceptions that people have, and whether I do it through angst or humor or any kind of narrative, I just want to make sure that people know that not everybody has to act a certain way just because of who they are. Anybody can feel anything they want to, and they should be allowed to feel anything they want to.
And it isn't just TJ creating on the page what he wishes he saw in the world. Seth and other authors are doing it too.
You brought up your book, Femme, and I do want to talk about that some more. Okay, well, first of all, just tell us what the book is about and why you wanted to write it.
I basically wrote it because it was what was happening in my own life. Like I said, I was getting more in touch with the feminine parts of myself I had sort of hid and concealed, and I was having a reawakening. But at the same time, I was getting a lot of, not pushback, but I was losing interest from dates and from guys because they wanted the masculine, ideal, typical guy. So I sort of wrote it because it was just what I was seeing in front of me. And so while I was writing that book, I had even more of a fire lit under me, because I was realizing that some gay men never get over this. They never deal with it. They never come to terms with themselves and how they are. And I just got really pissed. And I got pissed that society won't let men be how they want to be. Society won't let men be soft. It won't, even gay society sometimes, but me being who I was had cost me everything. And I just got really mad. And I just wrote a story about a guy who becomes a drag queen in the end and has no apologies. And he puts on those heels and he walks on stage and he says, fuck you to the world, because he just gets to a point, as I did, where we didn't care anymore. And that book was me not caring anymore. I have Christian family members, conservative family members, who are horrified that I released a book with the cover was a man wearing lipstick. And that book was me just saying, I don't care anymore. You know, I've had people in my hometown at parties come up to me and say, like, I don't get it. What are you doing? And just as a gay guy, I mean, like I said, you have to look at yourself in the mirror every day when you leave your house. There are a million little things you have to think about. But the best thing was that I got people messaging me saying that because of the book, they've come out or they've accepted their son or their daughter or their child. And the good totally outweighs the bad.
I was hoping that there would be some of that at the end of that as well.
Totally, yeah. More than anything, it was from parents saying, like, I never understood my child. It's a totally different generation. I don't get it. But this book made me be like, oh, wait, this stuff doesn't matter because my kid is a human. And this is all just makeup is just, you know, doesn't matter. It's lipstick on top of a soul, you know, and the soul is what should matter. So that was the best part.
How do you think that letting boys be feminine can help not only gay men, but all men?
The most dangerous thing anyone can ever do is live a false life and hide who they are and never become who they are. And I think society places an ideal on men's shoulders that is impossible, but I think it literally kills men because they grow up ill-equipped to deal with their emotions and crying and loss and grief. And I think that by telling men to be these stone statues, you know, it's killing them. And I think that the best thing you could ever do is take a kid and say, like, you know what? You can be who you are. You can go through life as the person you are, and it doesn't matter. If you want to play with a doll or a G.I. Joe or a Barbie or a tank or paint a blue picture or a pink picture, I'm not going to force anything on you, but you can pick whatever you want. That saves lives, and I think that we're getting a little bit better as time goes on, but I think we could get a lot better a lot faster. Because, like I said, it's going to kill people, and it is killing people. I raised my brother's kids after he died, and I understand that, like, being a parent is hard, and it sucks, and it's, like, stressful, and it can be shitty a lot. But don't ever make your kid feel like what they are is not enough, or, like, what they are should be changed. Because there's a lot of pressure to, like I've gotten letters from parents who will be, like, I'll admit I've tried to change my kid sometimes and the way they dress or whatever, not because I dislike what they are, but because I'm terrified. I don't want my son wearing a skirt to school and being bullied or beaten. And I'm so scared for my kid and I don't know what to do. But the ramifications of changing your kid are so much worse than just letting them go through life is exactly what they are. So basically I'm going on and on, but the gist of what I'm saying is, have a kid and then let that kid stay exactly as they are for their whole life. And I think they'll be a lot better off, because my life would have been a lot different if someone would have sat me down and said, like, you're fine. Like, what you are is fine.
I really hope that as a society, we continue to break down those stereotypes that are negative and reinforce the positives. Like, that it's completely okay for boys to cry and boys to feel things and to talk about their feelings and emotions with anyone. I just really hope that we're headed that direction.
I would just say what I needed was probably more of a supportive and safe place to kind of just be myself. And, you know, don't be, if your kids don't like to go outside and get, if you're, especially boys don't like to go outside and get muddy and they want to stay inside and be more on their own and play with the girls, like just provide the most supportive and loving and comfortable space you can for your kids so they have that place where they can grow into who they are and feel loved.
It's getting better, I would say, than it was a few years ago. Like, there's a lot more out there that's actually saying, yes, like, boys, you can be feminine, but it's still got a long way to go, I would say. It's just in the beginnings of actually, like, being able to see, like, boys being feminine just in, like, everyday, like, whether it's in, like, in films or in, like, on TV or in, like, magazines and stuff. But yeah, there's more content out there, I would say, that's kind of starting to say, actually, yes, it is okay for you to, like, embrace your feminine side and express yourself as who you are.
There's this, I guess there's it's a train coming, and it's starting to kind of really push through. It may not be very, very strong at the moment, but it's happening. There's a movement.
I asked James and Louis what advice they have for parents who are navigating raising children in a time when our understanding of gender and sexuality has grown, but they still often feel like issues other people are facing.
That's a good question. I would say for parents, the best thing you can really do is just let them be themselves. Like, don't try and conform them to how you expect them to be. Like, because I know, like, all parents are going to want their children to grow up to be a certain person, whether they realize it or not. It might be a completely like subconscious thing, but don't ever expect them to like be a certain way. Don't assume they're going to be straight. Don't assume they're going to be cis. That kind of thing. Like, don't make any assumptions about them that you don't know.
I guess really the only thing that I believe this is definitely an important topic, and I hope it's a topic that more and more people talk about, because it goes a lot right along what you just said, the using the different language. Just by using different language, you can help pave a different path, a path with a lot less difficulty. And having this conversation, and even with parents who are very okay with it, I think it's just a thing where if they were to recognize, and the more time we have this conversation, hopefully it will help them recognize that even just the words that they use can make a big difference in even just the mental health of their child, and not having to worry so much, and not having, like, it was actually a couple months ago, I had a conversation with my mom, and one of the things I ended up saying was, when I was growing up, I grew up in fear. I grew up scared that you guys wouldn't like me. And I know that's a struggle a lot of gay people face. Even today, you grow up with this fear. And I mean, that's not a fun thing. Your family is supposed to be the ones that should be there for you. Your family is supposed to be the ones that should protect you. And if having this conversation more often helps prevent that kind of a mentality, then I'm all for it.
The Clunatics podcast is produced by Susanna Frigo, Louis Garcia, Angela Noel Moan, Sita Rajasingham, Mia Skabaris, John Steiger, and me. This episode was written by Angela Noel Moan. Special thanks to our season sponsor, Chelsea Verzweivelt. Make sure you're following the Clunatics podcast on social media. Join our Facebook group and find us on Instagram and Twitter using @ClunaticsPod. All episodes are now available on YouTube as well. If you want to support the podcast with a financial contribution, hit the donate button at clunaticspodcast.com. Your generous donations allowed us to make a $500 donation to the Trevor Project. Donations collected after July 1st, 2020 will be banked for a potential season 2, and please include the name of a charity you think needs our support when you donate. We love the Trevor Project, but we'd like to spread the love. Additional information about the podcast, including episode transcripts and the Clune Speak Don't Be a Dictionary, is available at clunaticspodcast.com. You can find out more about me and my work at kirtreads.com. That's kirtreads.com. All music and sound effects heard in this episode are licensed by Storyblocks Audio.
Is there anything we didn't talk about that you wanted to bring up?
I just wanted to say that I really loved you on Tales of Verenia. It was fantastic. It's one of my favorite audiobooks to listen to.
Oh, I didn't narrate Tales of Verenia.
Which one do you do?
I do Wolfsong. I do Green Creek.
Is that new?
TJ's books? No, it's not new.
Oh, I thought that was a new one coming out. No. Well, I'll check that out.
Then. You have to send that message to Michael Leslie, who is remarkably talented, and he will appreciate that.
I will definitely check out Swan Lake.
Green Creek.